Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and I am here today joined by Lord Jushiro.
Some say, how are everyone?
And R Sigma.
Hiya.
And as like I always say, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And boy. Oh, man. Actually, trading card game, I haven't done much, honestly. I've just been traveling so much, guys. I'm so tired. Like, I'm so tired. I don't remember the last time I had two weekends in a row at my house.
If you notice us being, at least us three being a little slow today, it's because it's a Friday evening.
It is a Friday evening, that's true.
Recording, so we still have the work week on us.
Yeah, well, I we're doing it tonight because I'm going to the Ren Fair tomorrow, so I'm going
to
go have a good time.
That's a good way to spend a weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day tomorrow, I think, when we go to the Ren Fair. I did get to open some 151 today, though, so that was kind of exciting.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you find a God pack?
No, not at all. I am absolutely actually terrified of this set, only because I only need five cards from it, man. Okay, but I feel like they're just gonna be bought up, and it's gonna drive the price up for no reason.
I mean, that's why they release these sets in waves, right? Like, you never buy in the first wave. Like, don't touch first wave.
You're correct. But, I need a couple cards. To be fair, I'm a dirty local player now because I don't have any regionals to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. I kind of like it that way.
Right.
I don't plan on going to Worlds, but I do kind of want to just, go play for funsies.
Right. Get a challenge.
So you need your Blastoise. Yeah.
I need my Blastoise, buddy. Okay? I need my Blastoise. I really need to get some Blastoise.
That's how it is. You just need your Blastoise.
Give me my Blastoise. I do kind of want Arbok.
I've heard people talking about Arbok. I don't think I've read the card yet.
It is done okay in Japan.
Ah, I see.
It is done okay. Mostly because it's an anti-Mew, anti-Gardevoir type deal.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm tired of those cards, too. Yeah, I understand, yes.
I think it's Darkrai, but it works.
I see.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I the Pokemon content that I've done this week... Well, okay, so actually there's two. One, I went down this really deep rabbit hole about the production of the Pokemon anime.
Ooh.
Yeah, this
color
deep,
me interested.
Deep rabbit hole, guys. I could probably do a whole show on it. Actually, one of the original producers of the Pokemon anime has a podcast.
Everyone
does. But yeah.
So I've been listening to it. He's only got 8 episodes. He's doing it very sporadically.
Right, it's a hobby, now that...
Over, the past 2 years he's done it, but it's actually really interesting because he's got all of this insight and stuff on the creation of the show, because he was the one who would help adapt the scripts for the lip flaps.
Oh.
For the early anime.
Oh, that must have been
fascinating.
Fun.
Yeah.
So he's just got so much information about, why certain things are the way they are. At the beginning when they call, when they call the Pokemon by the wrong plurals, calling them, we're getting attacked by Spearows. Instead of Spearow. He's just it's just because nobody told us how to say it yet, and we didn't know.
Yeah, there's no style guide at that point.
Right.
We just didn't know.
Well, they're making the translation at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. It's such an interesting thing. But like, I also went down some other deep rabbit holes. It mostly started because I just needed to like chill out, right? During all this traveling.
Let me hear about other people's problems or challenges.
I would have things on in the background. And one of the things that like came up in my feed was just like convention panels about the Pokemon anime. And like, I just like kept listening to them. I don't know. Like, I don't like listening to convention panels a lot typically because the questions that the audience asks are sometimes a little bit cringe.
A little bit, yeah.
You're not wrong.
Well, like when they ask, you know, the voice cast of the Pokemon anime from the first 8 seasons in the year 2023 or 2022, what 6 Pokemon would you have on a Pokemon team? I'm going to be like, well, you know, these guys probably don't know anything outside of like Gen 1 at most. Right?
Right. That's the wrong question. Yeah.
Like, they're not going to know it. Yeah. But the panels that I watched were actually pretty good at filtering some of these questions. Like, one or two of those got through. Right. But it was mostly hey, talk to us about, like, the actual industry and tell us some stories about, like, when you were going through it. Right.
Well, what's interesting about, like, early Pokemon anime was it was 4 kids that did it, right?
Yeah. It technically wasn't. It was technically this other company that was, like, subcontracting under 4 Kids.
Oh, okay.
So 4 Kids would like edit the footage before the voice actors would get it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they got all of the footage after the Porygon incident.
Okay.
So a lot of things changed. So there's actually a lot of like really awkward, slow animations, like when the Pokeballs open very early on, because 4 right. Kids or Japan is slowing it down to prevent the lights from flashing too fast.
Okay. Yeah. That's hilarious. Okay.
Yeah, fun fact. These are things I've learned in my binge. I need to reach out to this guy and just like do an interview with him.
Yeah, the behind the scenes stuff is super interesting because I listen to the One Piece podcast every week and they have a production director or something like that who comes on occasionally and he'll talk about what it's like working for Toei. He just directed his first episode a little while back.
Oh, cool.
So he knows all the stuff behind the scenes, how he gets the animators and decides on that stuff. And all this behind the stuff industry stuff is like extremely fascinating.
Yeah, it's super interesting. It's super interesting.
Right. And it's important information to have as well. I'm also fascinated by anything.
Yeah, getting it documented is really cool.
Right. Anything behind the scenes is great. It's also great to know these things because these jobs are not easy. Being a game developer, an animation producer, they're not easy jobs. They're not jobs that require no time to do. No, these are jobs that are hard. So when people criticize a game because it doesn't have a feature, it doesn't have the way it wants and start making noise, it's because they're lazy. It's like, you guys have no idea how the industry works.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is when he just defends a lot of the changes he's made.
Right.
Right. To the show, because he was part of the reason he got the translation, but he would have to adapt it. One, so it would fit lip flaps, but also two, so that like jokes would actually land.
So it sounds natural and whatnot. Yeah.
Right.
Because early Pokemon used a lot of Japanese puns.
And those don't translate.
And those don't translate. Yeah, exactly. So, he had to write a lot of jokes, and a lot of the early styles were just like him writing scripts. I mean, he's the reason like Team Rocket's still fun to listen to in the early anime.
Nice.
Is this guy. But it was very interesting. It very interesting dive. I was doing it while I went to Dayton, Ohio. For being Dayton, Ohio, it actually has some interesting locations. One of them being, we have the store called the Original 151 in town that just like imports a bunch of Japanese Pokemon merch.
That's awesome.
And so it's like a little mini Pokemon center, but like in Dayton, Ohio. Mini overpriced Pokemon center. And
of course.
So they have I've been really into these nano blocks that they have. It's essentially Lego. They're just smaller Legos. Yeah, they're just smaller Legos, right?
I have a few of them. I haven't built them all, but yeah.
I've seen them. I think I had an Eevee at some point or something like that.
I have I think I have all the evolutions and Mewtwo.
Yeah, they're very fun to put together. And I like it because at the end it's something that like you can display in the back wall, right?
Yeah.
It's like
any model kit, really.
Yeah, it's essentially a model kit, but it's Lego.
It's nice to build, and then you put it on the display, because, hey, it looks cool.
Yeah. The instructions are also, like, more challenging to understand, which I think is probably the thing I like about it. because the instructions are just like, here are 17 steps you need to do right now. And I'm like, oh, I'm into this. I can do that. Yeah. And so I was doing that while I was listening. So that's been my Pokemon this week, honestly.
I've been pushing through the DLC. Well, not pushing through, it's a bad word. I've been playing a lot of the DLC. So been having my Pokemon dose. I finished it not too long ago. And yeah, it's been great. Not my favorite DLC, but not bad.
I mean, it feels like the DLC, how good it is for you probably depends on if you can just climb over everything at the beginning so nothing matters.
Yeah.
Or if you actually have to ride your bike through the area.
Right.
I think this DLC is, I don't know, after playing it, I'm like, this would be a lot better if I was doing it during the main adventure.
Yeah, like, the fact that you can climb over everything kind of,
yeah.
What I did was, like, the second I could jump on my guy, I was like, okay, I'm going to go catch everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
And right. That's what I did. It's like, okay, I'm just going to climb this mountain, catch everything. And then I realized that nighttime wasn't going to come, so I couldn't catch some of the ghost Pokemon and Clefairy. And it's like, that's, I guess we'll do the story, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good DLC, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm also interested to see what happens when we get the second one.
Yeah. I mean, when it released, I was like, oh, wow, this isn't as broken as Urshifu was. And now I'm thinking back, and maybe Ogre Pond might be a little too good. It's like, it's just a mono grass Pokemon. It's a grass Pokemon. It can't be that good, right?
Yeah.
Turns out, by the time this episode airs, there's probably a decent chance that one of the forms of Ogre Pond is no longer an OU.
Yeah, very possible.
Which one?
Very possible, actually.
The fire one is very good.
Yeah, the fire one's very good.
The fire one? Okay.
The grass one is also pretty good, and the water one is pretty good, too. The rock one's the only one I hear no one talk about.
Yeah, well, they'll start talking about it when the others are banned, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about these three ones, the linguins?
The bird's really bad.
I think the bird's bad.
The bird is extremely bad.
Monkey Dory's okay.
Monkey is good in singles. Doggy seems good in doubles.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like to me. Because the dog has anti-intimidate.
Yeah, Doggy is kind of, it's very close to Incineroar. Yeah, it's almost Incineroar.
The dog has an anti-intimidate ability. So if Intimidate comes in, he gets the attack boost, which negates
it. But that's a hidden, right?
Yeah, and you can get hidden abilities right away, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an item you can use, so it's
yeah, the
fine.
Ability patch.
Right, the patch.
It's been
around,
yeah.
Yeah, the dog's probably better as a hidden ability.
I just didn't know if they were locked or not. As you can tell, I didn't put them on my party at all.
Yeah, no, I just caught them.
I mean, they're expensive, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, the dog seems good in doubles.
Yeah.
Bird is, like, absurdly bad. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to monopolize a lot of this time, but we do have some news to talk about, so we should probably kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about. Turns out that there's a glitch in Scarlet and Violet that fails to register completed battles beyond 300, which wasn't possible until the DLC. So now with the DLC, that is a problem, and that's actually an issue, I believe, for some of the side quests in the DLC.
The Ogre Clan, yeah.
Yeah, the Ogre Clan stuff.
They're actually hard battles, too.
Yeah. There is also going to be an update for this in early October to fix it, so hang tight. Hang tight, everybody. We're going
to. You really need to battle the Ogre Clan.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
And in that same vein, rank battles are being weird right now. Apparently, any new Pokemon from the DLC isn't banned and are allowed, but the returning Pokemon are not. And I believe that should be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's what the way it's supposed to work is all the new Pokemon are supposed to be banned. Like,
until the end of the month.
In the DLC. Yeah, until the end of the month. I mean, I don't think there's like a regional or an event.
Until, like, next weekend?
Is there one next weekend? I thought it was not until Peoria.
Or two weekends? I don't know.
Oh, no, Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Sacramento's happening.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, like Ogre Pond's on the ladder, essentially.
And be scared. Be very scared.
And Weavile with knockoff.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I assume the new moves are usable on ladder.
I don't know if new moves are. They might be. They
I know they're not allowed in, like, VGC yet, but they might be on ladder.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not allowed in VGC yet, but next weekend is the game's first Outbreak event featuring Clefairy with the Upbeat Mark. It should be available to even players without DLC, so yay.
Awesome. That's exciting, actually.
If you want a Clefairy, cool. Go get your Clefairy.
It's not even just a Clefairy, but like it's cool that like you don't need the DLC to do it. Like I'm a fan of that, even though like the adoption rate for this DLC is stupid high.
I have to imagine it is very good.
Pokemon DLC adoption rates have to be insanely high. Like, they have to be making more money on the DLC than third versions.
We were trained in buying the third version of every game that came out as a Pokemon fan. So I do. It's not surprised me that we automatically go for the DLCs.
Yeah. I mean, the DLC's a better deal, in all honesty.
Right. It's way better deal than having to buy the game again.
Exactly. Well, take us to this next one, Shiro.
Oh, yeah. We're moving on to Unite Moves news. And Mimikyu releases now in October 19. Perfect spooky day season.
Yeah, I think Halloween events start then, too. So
Halloween, they've been doing this consistently the past 3 years, so I'm very unsurprised. I hear it's actually not, it hasn't gotten bad yet, so.
No, in fact, they're adding, and I believe I saw pictures, I don't know if it was fake or not, but they're adding, if they not already added, Overworld. Not that one that you can go and explore, but much like, more like Splatoon, where you have like city, before now they're implementing that soon into the game.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're doing a lot of work over there at Unite.
Well, let's move on to Go. In Pokemon Go, the next community day is going to be Timber on October 15th. That's actually a good one. That's a good
one. I mean, it's shiny's not great, but it's nice to get easy.
To get easy candy for it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get a Timber, so.
I think it was only in like eggs and special raids, yeah. So that's
it was
good.
In raids. It was in raids.
And like one star mine. Raids. Yeah.
That's how I got mine. But yeah, that's exciting. What else we got? I think it's you, Sigma.
Okay, from September 27th to October 2nd, there is an out-to-play event, which isn't super exciting because all it does is add shiny Hisuian Growlithe and gives you bonus XP for routes. But if you're on the shiny Jirachi hunt, they're boosting the Kecleon spawns.
That is important, actually.
I got to the Kecleon task way back in May. I have found three. Three in 4 months.
How many do you need to get?
You need 10.
10? I mean, I've seen a good number of them in the past year, but probably like 5 or 6.
I mean, most of the ones I saw were back during the Hoenn event or back when they released Kecleon. I think I found like one while I was waiting to get to the Kecleon quest.
I see.
Quest is where everything like slows down for it. So
yeah.
Well, there's also in much lesser news, the Asuro Hatch Day is on September 30th. If for whatever reason you've playing Go and you don't have an Asuro, you got a better chance.
Well, you can
assume it's shiny boosted.
You can also get it's gonna be shiny boosted from eggs. I think hatch days are the worst. Like the hatch days are the gacha days.
They're very boring, and I don't touch them.
They're just gacha days. All right, take us home, Sigma, on this last piece.
All right. So pre-orders opened and immediately sold out for the TCG Classic at $400.
$400 was when I saw that. I was like, that is far more expensive than I ever assumed this would be.
Yeah, it was higher than I was expecting. I was expecting like 300.
Like 250, 300 was my ballpark.
Yeah, I was expecting 300. Apparently, that's what it is in Japan, roughly. So.
Yeah, that is. That's if it's still available in Japan and I can buy it there, I'm going there in a couple of weeks. So
the fact that the sentence pre-order open and immediately sold out.
They clearly understand what they were doing. So
in 2023 makes me think back of all the moms and dads that were like, this is just a fab. This will get away in the 90s.
Oh yeah.
This ain't going nowhere. This is going nowhere. People will forget next month.
Like, let's look at like the graveyard though of like 90s fads. Okay, there were a lot of them. Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Crazy Bones. Rest in peace.
We got Beanie Babies. We got Tamagotchis. We've got.
I'm still waiting on the Freakazoid reboot. I don't know when that's gonna happen.
There's plenty of fads from back then. What was the one before Pokemon? There is the.
I don't even remember.
I'm thinking of. They're the little discs that you throw at things. Pogs.
Oh yeah, Pogs were big in the 90s. Maybe 80s too. But
not in Puerto Rico, apparently, because I have no idea what we're talking about.
Dude, I still miss like the Wild West of Pokemon products, which is why I'm kind of bummed we don't get like the Japanese full like Pokemon Center line here in the US
they get some weird stuff.
They get some weird stuff, which is what I kind of want, because like think about some of the stuff we used to get. Like, first of all, I miss Pokemon breakfast cereal. I don't know. Lately, I've just been feeling like a lot of nostalgia for the past, hence why I've been like reading about the Pokemon anime of the past. But man, doesn't it suck that Saturday cartoons are gone?
They're just gone.
Because all these kids have been spoiled with on-demand TV.
I was going to say, everything's streaming now. Like, cable's dying.
These kids won't know what it is to wait on commercials. No, but.
I remember when I had to wait for my show to start.
Right. And you have watch the one Lex because you're already there.
I sat there and knew that the show I wanted to watch was on in an hour and a half. And I had to find something to watch until I got to that hour.
Exactly. I remember these days. I do miss them. Like the good old days, like some of my favorite memories are watching Saturday morning cartoons with the bowl of cereal. And that's
just things you didn't care about.
But. That's just your morning up until like noon, 1 o'clock. That's your day.
I mean, I'm sure that this is just part of adulthood that we all go through this. I'm pretty sure
absolutely.
That people in the 90s were like, man, I don't know what people did before for fun. I mean, play basketball or something. Sports were bigger or something. It's just people who say like, oh, kids, you know, the millennials and their video games. It's like, it's the same thing as the boomers and the Gen Xers with their sports or whatever.
Or with their music, right? Their rock and roll.
It was what it was available at the time. You enjoy it. And you know, you have this nostalgia over it and you want it back because it reminds you of your childhood.
I absolutely agree. I do think there's a small piece that's different. I feel like the internet, like there wasn't as big of a shift as there was with the internet being introduced, right?
Internet
in some of those previous time frames. Like, I mean, early 1900s, you have radio and then you've got TV and television and everything. But, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there is anything like as big as the internet, because that's like a really huge cultural shift instead of like a pastime evolution. We should note that there's going to be an additional printing of the cards from the TCG classic.
You can get the Suicune EX, Lugia EX, Ho-Oh EX.
It doesn't matter because like they're not legal for play anyway, but, you can't get them. They're not even numbered promos. Just letting you all know, they're not even numbered promos.
For the collectors out there, like they don't have to pay the $400 to get the set.
Yeah, you don't need the $400 if you want the decks. I do like the. I wish they would just sell like the damage counters separate. I would love that.
I mean, those are the cool things of it.
Yeah, right. That's like what I'd pay for. But all right, Puckle's Pokey prediction. We're gonna go ahead and talk to you guys. The final set of Miku art this week are Steel, Dark, Fighting, and Dragon. Take a stab at which Pokemon they're gonna pick for at least one of them. I don't know. Dragon is gonna be. That's gonna be. Well, it's Miku, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an easy pick for Dragon. Just say.
Is there?
What is the music-based Dragon?
Are we going Altaria? That's probably true.
No, that was taken for flying, but it's also another flying dragon.
What am I not thinking?
You know, the one with speakers for ears?
Oh my gosh, Noivern, you're right.
That has to be it, right?
Noivern or Noibat, right?
One of the two. I mean, they did pick Jigglypuff for fairy, so.
Yeah. Steel, Dark, and Fighting, let's see.
Those ones are hard.
I
was thinking maybe... I don't expect them to double up on Meloetta for Fighting, so I was thinking maybe Medicham? Medicham's got a Dancer vibe to it.
Medicham is better. Well, if you want a dancer, right? Like, I feel,
Hisui and Lilligant's also right there, too. So,
yeah, I was going to say, like, I think Hisui and Lilligant's is a better choice.
Like, Hisui and Lilligant's a good choice.
That Pokemon feels so forgotten to me because even though it's available in Scarlet and Violet now, nobody uses it because it's probably not very good.
Oh, I forgot Quackable's there too, I guess, as a dancer.
I still think Hisui and Lilligant's better, but
I think it is too, but it could be either.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to these Miku things that much, mostly because I don't really care. And I don't understand.
I'm assuming I'm a little lost in this conversation. But I
so they've been doing all month. They've been doing promo arts for Miku for each of the types, and there's going to be a music video next week.
Miku being the Japanese,
The Japanese like
right music art, star
idol whatever. Yeah,
right, idol physical, not real, but
virtual idol.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Hatsune Miku.
Yeah, I just haven't cared, but apparently they're very popular, according to Sigma and Joe Merrick.
Hello,
I mean, they,
fellow youngins.
I see multiple Discord servers like talk about it every morning when they get revealed. So,
I believe you. I believe you.
People, they like to talk about the choice. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense, or oh, that looks so cool, and I love the design of the Miku. Things like that.
Right.
Yeah, so that I think we're going to wrap it up there. That's the news.
Yeah, that's the news.
We are going to kick things on over now, though, guys, to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi. And welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Thank you for that introduction. We are on to the trivia. Our first question this week is going to come to you from Umbreon 1080. Which Mega Evolution was the only one to not have a 100 base stat total increase upon its release?
Alakazam.
There you go.
That was very quick, and that is the correct answer.
I remember this because what happened was its regular stats were raised by 10, like in special defense.
Yeah, that's true.
So its total stat increase was 90. And yep. I assume it's because the stat increase to its regular form came late in development and they just never went in and fixed it.
Probably. Corrected in Sun and Moon. It was corrected
in Sun and Moon fixed it. So I assume that's what happened, is they just decided it can get 10 more special defense and then they never boosted the mega stats.
Okay.
All right, well, you're one for one.
That, so, yeah.
All right, this next one is from Bowling for Bear.
Oh.
Which Pokemon is number one in the Teal Mask Pokedex? Or the Kitakami Pokedex? Which Pokemon is number one in the Teal Mask Pokedex?
I want to say it's Yanma or Poochyena.
Oh, my.
I know it's not Wooper. Wooper's, like, number 5. But I think it's either Yanma or Poochyena.
It bothers me because I've been looking at that Pokedex a lot, and I can't believe it never registered the number one. I know, only thing that did hit me is that it's not any type of starter.
It's which is somebody who's right when you get there, and that is Yanma, Poochyena, I think Spinarak in that area,
right.
The fairy bug that evolves into Rabombies over there.
I'm going to go with you there because I honestly can't recall it. It might just be,
I think it might be just Yanma.
Yanma.
Yanma is unfortunately incorrect. Oh! The answer is Spinarak, the other bug.
Okay. Oh, there are a lot of bugs in Kitakami.
Yeah.
A lot of bugs.
It just makes me feel like walking through tall grass and just feeling disgusted, you know?
It feels very Johto-y. They just took the bug catching park and that's where we're at. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, your next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. You can get it if you get it on the first try. That's 2 points. This is going to come from Dragon Tamer Nick. It's Pokemon Sword entry reads, at nightfall, these Pokemon appear on the shores of lakes. They announce their territorial claims by letting out cries that sound like shouting. Who's that Pokemon?
Huh.
Lake. Huh. Lake Pokemon. It shouts.
And it the shouting is what got me.
Yeah. Who do we know that reaches the shore and shouts? On a lake.
Right?
Because that immediately speaks to me like a seal, but seals are not lake creatures.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking like a bug at first, and then he got to the screech, and it's like,
right. Well, not even, if it were a screech, it would be a bug, but it's a scream.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't be Swanner, right? Like,
honestly, at this point, it makes sense.
Wait, what game did this come from?
Pokemon Sword.
Not Swanner, all right.
Okay. Pokemon Sword, we got Pokemon in a lake.
There were no ducklets. Reaches...
No, that reaches the shore and screams to say it's their territory.
Oh, at boy. Night.
At night. Oh, my God. What screams in the lake?
The at night part really throws it off, too.
Right. It screams, so it has a mouth. So it can't be like a Starmie. Again, Starmie, not a lake creature, but, reaches shore.
Like, I don't think it's Crawdon, right?
I was just thinking of Crawdon, but it...
Like, I can't imagine it's Crawdon.
Well, you know what? At this point,
I mean, might as well get another hint.
You want to go for the hint this time?
We don't think it's right.
Crawdon is not right. You are correct about that. Okay. This next entry comes to you from Pokemon Sapphire.
Ooh.
And it reads, the curled hair on this Pokemon's head is proof of its status as a king. It is said that the longer and more curled the hair, the more respect this Pokemon earns from its peers.
So I'm leaning Politoed.
Oh, yes. Now everything makes sense. Yep.
It only has one hair,
and it's curled.
But it is a king.
It thinks of itself as a king, and it does have a mouth where it can scream. And frogs do scream at
night.
And
it is on a lake.
And the frogs are like creatures. Yep, I go for that too.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Poliwhirl is correct. Politoed is correct. What? I still would have given it to you, but it is Politoed, yes.
Okay.
You guys are 2 for 3. This next question is your multiple answer question. And there are going to be... you know what? I'm going to go for this one. There are 13 answers to this question. I think both of you will be able to answer them. There are 3 points up for grabs, so I'm going to say for every 3 answers you give me, you get a point. If you get all 13, you can give yourselves a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Who were the 13 amiibos? This is from Bodhi, by the way. Who were the 13 amiibos of Pokemon that were released as of now?
Oh. Okay, let's start. Number 1, Charizard. Number 2, Pikachu. Ivysaur, Squirtle.
That's 4. Pokemon that Trainer. Correct.
Mewtwo.
That's 5. Mewtwo is 6.
Pokemon Trainer. Jigglypuff.
Wait, Pokemon Trainer 7. Is not a...
There's a Pokemon
list.
Trainer one.
It's lit. It's
no,
on
there
the list.
Is, but...
Oh, but he's not on the list.
I thought you were speaking specifically Pokemon.
I have
it. Okay, he's on the list. So Trainer, that's fine.
You guys are at 7.
There is a Detective Pikachu amiibo that's separate from the Pikachu amiibo.
I will accept that. That's 8. Then that's 9.
Yeah,
yep.
Lucario's there, yeah. Greninja.
That's
Greninja.
10.
Incineroar has one.
Incineroar, yep.
That is 11.
And two more. We got...
Are we done with all the Smash ones?
No, you're missing one Smash one.
I don't think we are. Yeah.
We're missing one Smash.
One Smash.
Who is it? Who is Smash? Smash, Smash!
Pichu, yeah.
Pichu. There we go. I don't think
you're going to think about this
last one. Oh, it's the
Shadow
Mewtwo card.
Yeah,
from,
the Shadow
That is all 13.
I wasn't going to guess
back
that
to
last
you.
One.
Wow,
I have
hats off.
Over half
hats off.
Of those.
You got all
I
of them.
I have over half of them.
I have all of them. Yeah. Well, except for the Detective Pikachu.
I don't have Detective Pikachu. I don't think I got the I don't think I got Squirtle, Ivysaur, and Pokemon Trainer.
Oh, yeah, they were in a pack. They were in a three pack. But yeah, that's
when they raised the price of Amiibo, and they weren't. And those were small figures, and they weren't worth it. They weren't worth the $16 price tag.
All right. Well, that gives you all 3 points. So you guys are up. You guys are up five for four, something like that, right? No, more than five. Yeah, no, five for four. Five for four. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys can go for six here. This is your base stat question, as always, and I was only given one option for this today, probably because I was a little too early for Liger. And so this one is from Zay Paladin. Which single-stage grass-type Pokemon has the lowest base defense?
Ooh, interesting.
Which single can we get a hint?
You can get a hint. This is a pure grass-type Pokemon.
All right. So Carnivine is here. I don't know what Carnivine stats are. I'm going to be honest. I know it's bad.
I have no idea Carnivine's.
What other monotype or non-evolutionary grass types are there?
What's the stat again?
Lowest defense, I believe.
Defense. Lowest base defense. This Pokemon was also, it was in a recent-ish theme deck.
Okay.
I know you and I have played theme deck battles on PTCGO before they no longer existed. But yeah.
The grass decks were always bad, though.
There was one that was okay.
I imagine it would be the Rillaboom one. Mono grass, non-evolving Pokemon.
I am kind of stumped.
I'm having issues thinking of any of them that aren't Carnivine.
Carnivine has... Oh, no, it has Levitate.
And it's not Carnivine. He's not in the theme deck.
Tangela evolves already.
Yeah, I know. I went to Tangela, too, and I'm like, no. Yeah. I know it's nothing in Gen 1, because Tangela is the only mono grass Pokemon.
Right. single doesn't evolve, just grass. It's definitely not non-form Shaymin, right?
No, it's not Shaymin. Shaymin has good defenses.
Okay.
I mean, Shaymin Skyform is less good defenses, but
it should still be better. Skyform has flying on it, right? So it's no longer mono, but the other form, which is Monograss, I thought maybe it had some defense issues, but no. I'm really stumped with this one.
I'm stumped too.
Let's guess something, because we need to guess something soon before Thatch asks. I'm going to have to need an answer. I'm stumped.
I'm going to need an answer here, guys.
Yeah, there we go. There it is. What do we do?
I have zero idea.
Carnivine.
Carnivine is unfortunately incorrect. But it is second place, actually, on this list.
Oh, that's because there are, like, three monograss Pokemon that don't evolve.
Well, these aren't all... No, monograss wasn't in the question. That was a hint, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But the answer is Maractus.
Oh, that bad thing.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
The answer is Maractus.
Yeah, talking about forgettable Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't feel bad.
Maractus has a base defense of 67. Second place goes to a tie between Carnivine and Virizion at 72.
Okay.
And then Shaymin, Skyform, is 75.
Okay, yeah, I knew that defense wasn't great.
So, yeah, you guys got 5 points today, so don't feel
we'll
too bad.
We'll take it.
And you can still pat yourselves on the back for that. It is going to go ahead, and it is going to change up the standings. Where is it again? Where are you, Jushir, on this list? Oh my gosh, you must be somewhere.
You were
tied with Sigma, actually.
That makes it easier.
There it is.
All right, so in first place we've got Linian with 22 points. In first place is Seth Violet with 25. My bad. then we've got Linian in second with 22 points. Tied for third, we've got Shark and Dr. Shamu with 20. In a three-way tie for fifth, we've got Whimsicott, R. Sigma, and Jushiro with 17.
Hello! Best trio ever.
Let's go.
In eighth, we've got Mark and Sublime tied with 14 points. And then bringing up the rear, we've got Claude with 6. Still a race to 40, so it's pretty much anybody's game. So until then, guys, tune in next week for another segment of Puckle's Poke Quiz. Until then, we're going to kick it on over to the topic.
Puckle Factory is back. Battle against your fellow Puckleonians with rental teams provided to you by us. Each week will have its own themes to explore. You get to pick which team best suits your wants, which one you think is the best. You have until October 1st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to sign up. Further information can be found on our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be Mega Evolution Retrospective. I think that's the way to do it, right?
Legacy of Kalos, let's go.
The Legacy of Kalos, that's nice.
Legacy of Kalos, yeah. No, I'm actually very interested in this topic. Sigma brought it up because he's like, oh, well, this, too bad it's not like October 13th that we could just do this. And I kind of disagree.
I mean, we can do it anytime. It just gets more traction on the actual, like, decade.
The anniversary day.
That's true. I mean, we should just be better about social media, which I am not, and just go ahead and do it because and like promote it that day. But I just think it's such an interesting idea.
It's worthy. It's a worthy topic.
Well, mostly because I'm excited to talk about it. Because as soon as Sigma brought it up, I'm like, I have so many feelings about how this goes.
Go ahead, Thatch. Unleash them.
Oh man. Okay. So. I have a lot of opinions on Mega Evolution as a whole because Gen 6, as we were discussing off air earlier, was a very, very pivotal game series in the history of the Pokemon franchise. It did a lot of things.
I would say second reborn, second revive.
I don't want to say it's a revival per se, but one, it was the transition to 3D, which was what it was.
Yeah, it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things for Gen 6, I don't. It was cool, but it didn't, like, it wasn't a game changer for me.
Yeah, it still played, like...
It was the same games. Yeah, it was the same games.
Yeah, pretty much. I I'd much rather have had it be, I don't know. Like, yeah, they were good games, they just weren't the rebirth of the franchise. It was the first time, I think, that we had a lot of Gen 1 pandering in a Pokemon game, which has just not gone away, which is unfortunate. But Unova not being received as well as I think the Pokemon company would have hoped, I think they took it too far, right? I think Gen 6...
The soft reboot was not the way.
The soft reboot wasn't their way, right? But I feel like really leaning into Gen 1, as hard as they have been in the past decade, has been very tiring, very exhausting.
As the 151 set releases.
In terms of a Pokemon game that I really enjoy, I think no Pokemon game, at least personally for me, this is very subjective. I believe X and Y is the one that encapsulates adventure. More so than any other Pokemon game. Like, the feeling of adventure, I very much encapsulate it. And I do think Sigma also made some comments earlier that it's probably a lot of it's caught up early in the game as opposed to later in the game. Like, I know a common complaint about X and Y is that it takes forever to get from the first badge to the second badge, but I think, honestly, that's my...
That was good, though! That was good!
That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part of that game. And what made it feel like an adventure instead of being like, oh, one route gym, or something like that. I felt like I was exploring and having an adventure and doing things. And that felt good. That felt good. And I will stand by that for eternity, honestly. I think Scarlet and Violet captured that to some extent as well, just in a different way. Just because, I don't know, like, the trend of every game series becoming Breath of the Wild and hitting some kind of singularity there, honestly, a little exhausting. Though I do think Scarlet and Violet is done very well, outside of game performance.
My opinion, right, real quick on that, is that I do agree on the adventure. However, the distinction I would like to make is that, Sword and Shield, X and Y, it was a sense of adventure that it was built for, you know, they built that for you so you can have, it's in like an artificial feeling of exploration because you're not really in exploration. You're still in the in a rail game, right? You're going through a certain passage and you go back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's still pretty much made, while in Scarlet and Violet, they give you full freedom to you do an actual adventure and they leave the adventuring part to you, right? It's like you can either go to every corner of this map and not touch a gym if you want to, but if you want to speed through it, you can also do that. So in that aspect, I do want to put those two different things.
No, I agree with you. I definitely agree.
And
with you.
Oh, sorry. And the other thing I remember is that in the sense of every game being Breath of the Wild, I'm totally with you there. Except that Pokemon fans has been asking for a full game, open world game since forever.
It's fine that they tried it. It is good that they tried it.
I mean, I think it's fine. It feels just so much like Breath of the Wild. I want something to differentiate it other than like the glide being worse. like that's the honest answer.
The part of it is like maybe it should stay in like a Legend series and have linear regular games. I don't know.
No, you know what's worse is I think Legends did a better job than Scarlet and Violet in some senses. But regardless, I do want to. This is about Mega Evolution, right?
We found a new topic for a later day.
Yeah. I think the problem is you have the three of us on, which I think are very passionate about this topic.
We found a topic with depth. It's fine.
Well, so like Mega Evolution is like it's the gimmick that started us having a gimmick. And I want to define the gimmick briefly because when we were discussing this topic earlier, we also had a disagreement, a minor disagreement. I want to define what I mean by gimmick. And that is something that is pretty much legal in like VGC, right? Like something that changes the Pokemon and is legal in VGC. So you actually see it at Worlds so that they can kind of sell the gimmick. And so, because we brought up like the idea that triple battles was a gimmick, and I do agree with you, they were, and it was an awful one.
It was not one well regarded. It felt like a generational gimmick instead of like Gen 4's gimmick of a special physical split that was always going to be with us, right?
I wouldn't call that a gimmick, right? Yeah.
That was a stretch for a gimmick, but also Gen 4 doesn't really have a gimmick.
So. Yeah, yeah. This was the real first gimmick, and they treated
the underground, but yeah.
It's treated so differently from the others, and I think one is because they didn't know what they were doing with it and like how far they wanted to take it, right? Because it's the only gimmick that's returned between games, and several games, mind you. It returned not only in Sun and Moon, but it also came
with multiple retcons, multiple retcon lore, like, right?
Yeah, it was in Sun and Moon, and then again it showed up in I'm actually surprised they got dex entries in Sun and Moon too, by the way.
Let's Go of all places.
Let's Go Pokemon Let's Go got it. Yeah. And then on top of that, what was most frustrating of all is like post Sword and Shield launch, it came out in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon at DX.
Oh, that too.
It's in there. Yeah. It's like, and I think it's coming back somewhere else as well. Somewhat. It's in Pokemon Unite. Like it just came out in Pokemon Unite.
Oh yeah, it was just added to Unite with Mewtwo. Oh wow.
Yeah, isn't that insane? I just can't get over it.
Goes to show it was a good and well-loved mechanic.
No, it's a really good gimmick, and these are forms of these Pokemon, right? So, like, I don't know. So, I think all three of us enjoyed the TV show Digimon, Digital Monsters.
Digimon are the champions.
They are the champions. So, there's an episode of the Digimon anime in Season 2 where they talk about how the Digidestin from Season 1 had to give up their crest to protect the digital world. And there's a line where when they're telling the story about how they gave up their crest, because they need the crest to go from the champion level to the ultimate level Digimon forms. So, like, instead of just Greymon, Metal Greymon, not just Garurumon, Rare Garurumon, so on and so forth, that the Digimon felt like they lost part of themselves when they had to give up the crest.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I felt when, like, Mega Evolution got cut in Sword and Shield.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, man, these, like, really cool forms got cut. And so something that's even more frustrating to me, so I'm going to Japan in a couple weeks, right? So I've been watching a lot of, there's this guy, this is such a bad, like, this is such a bad use of YouTube, but, there's a guy that goes to Pokemon centers and he just like films what's in them like every month, just so like, you know, what's in them.
There's an audience to be fair.
There's an audience and it's apparently me. Yeah. And so I watch these videos, and the thing that gets me is there's these little figures in Japan called the Monocle. Is that how you pronounce it?
Sure.
They're essentially little action figures of every Pokemon, like most Pokemon have one. But the thing is, like, in current times, they still, like, reproduce the Megas for you to buy. And these are Pokemon that haven't been in the game outside of Mystery Dungeon DX since 2019, like 4 years ago. And they keep bringing these back. Like, they have these. You know what's not up there? Gigantamax Pokemon. Those aren't there.
They weren't marketable. I don't know what their thought was.
Gigantamax is just such a...
Megas aren't, like, super marketable either, like, in their design aspect, but, you know.
I don't know. They kind of are, because they're pretty cool. I would...
Have you seen how many spoons Alakazam has to make a plushie with?
No, that's... I do agree with that, but I still think that, design-wise, they're very cool.
They don't make good plushies. They can make good figures. Except Alakazam. Alakazam has a lot of spoons. Like, making those spoons float is not something you can do.
Also, I want to just rewind even further to... I was doing those nano blocks earlier, right? They just released Mega Blastoise and Mega Venusaur.
One of those was a good Mega.
I take offense to that, actually.
One of them looked cool.
I take offense.
The other one saw use. You know it to be true.
I know the answer to this question. I think it's one, the testament of Megas. And that, how that, even a decade later, these are forms that we're still talking about. Like, I'm never going to talk about G-Max Kingler ever again. Like, I'm just never going to talk about it. But I will talk about almost every of the 50 Megas, because they all did something.
So let's divide this a bit more. What would you say that is specifically the thing that you missed about Mega Evolution? And I'll give you options. So, is it the stats and the way that it changed the meta and changed battle per se? Is it the fact that it's new versions, as in new art style, new versions of old Pokemon that you like? So the design is what I'm trying to say. Or is it the design of them? What exactly was that for you really made Megas the best?
It's kind of a mix for me, but I like the Megas I like the most are the ones that, there were two categories I liked. The ones that gave Pokemon new strategies to use, like Heracross.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Heracross with Skill Link is a completely different Pokemon from any Heracross we had seen before, right?
It also,
and then the other one was Megas that made bad Pokemon good. Like Mega Manectric. One, he looked cool, but he also made Manectric, who is a trash Pokemon, generally speaking, like, usable. Same with Mawile.
Yeah, I think I kind of fall under that same vote, but I also just think that it's a really cool way to make older Pokemon more memorable again, or at least bring them back into the zeitgeist, right? And by doing that...
They make them more relevant, yeah.
And, well, and doing this without, like, quote-unquote ruining them, if that makes sense. Like, so, like, let's go to Charizard. I'm not a big Charizard fan, but, like, Charizard, right? You breathe a breath of fresh air into Charizard by giving him, one, his dragon typing, and giving him, like, a cool design that's very, very reminiscent of his shiny.
He could finally use his physical move pool. It's a completely different way to use Charizard versus Charizard Y, which is Charizard how you'd usually run it.
But it does this because it's a temporary form and we're not adding an evolution to Charizard. We're not making a new Charizard per se. This is just, hey, you can power up your old Charizard to be like this.
Mm.
I think that's very powerful, and I think that's very interesting. And it's a cool way to bring old Pokemon back into the zeitgeist, which is why when that happened, we were all wishing for certain Pokemon to get Megas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you think about, I don't know, like, some that I think that would be cool, and some of them don't matter, because at least now they've started, like, evolving Pokemon, if that makes sense. They're no longer scared to add evolutions again.
Yeah, we'll get Kingler evolution at some point.
I don't really care, but, you know, they're not scared. Like, we got Ferrigraph, which is great, honestly.
Or Annihilate. Annihilate
was also very good. Like, Primeape's a Pokemon that deserved it. I think Weirdear is amazing. If they would just put an evolution method in any other game that's not PLA, that'd be great. I have issues with that, but that's another podcast entirely.
That's a different story.
That's another podcast.
That's its own issue. Like,
just evolve with a Thunderstone, please. Yeah, I think that Megas, in a way, are, like, it's unique too, I think, compared to Gigantamax forms, which are just not memorable. Because some of them were just most of them were just plain bad. Like most of them were just
the only ones that were good were the Kanto starters and the Galar starters, and then like Lapras and Colossal.
Yeah, those are like the only ones that ended up being good.
And Colossal was good because it had the same attack as the Kanto starters.
Yeah, most of them weren't good. And I mean, Z moves was an interesting concept, and
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I like the way they've implemented gimmicks since Mega Evolution, where they have since made them see, well, I think Terrestrialization is kind of up in the air right now.
Well, I think Terrestrialization is definitely better than Gigamax.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, no. That's not where I'm going with this. But when Z-moves were introduced, it was introduced as something that's very region-specific, right? Like, this is something that's very important to the culture of Alola. And then Gigantamax and Dynamax as well, they specifically state, like, this is a Galar-only phenomenon. And Terrestrialization...
Wasn't Mega Evolution also, like, they were specific on it was a Kalos-ish thing?
Yeah, they changed that lore real quick.
No, they changed that lore real quick because it went to Hoenn and then went to Kanto and then it went to Alola. Like, half the regions have Mega Evolution, which is very frustrating. But, I mean, Terrestrialization, though, does seem like they're kind of trying to push it with the DLC because Kitakami just randomly has Terrestrial crystals for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And Briar does have that one line.
I mean, no one in the DLC fought.
I do agree. Nobody in the DLC did terrestrialization. I do agree with you, but there are terrestrial crystals in that lake up top.
Yeah, it's planting the seeds.
They are put into the masks of Ogerpon, which is why Ogerpon can terrestrialize, which is a whole thing, which honestly is the way that terrestrialization should have worked, but that's fine.
I mean, I like how special terrestrialization works with Ogerpon, but that's its own thing. It kind of feels like Megas because the ability changes.
It is. Happen. It's 100% just Megas.
It's like it changes the type. It changes the
stats. It changes the stats. It gives it a stat boost.
It doesn't change the stats. It gets a stat boost instead.
It gets a stat boost, which is kind of the same thing.
Right. So, so this is my next question. My question is, why do you think that Game Freak decided to opt out of Mega Evolution when it came to Sun and or the next, you know,
Sword and Shield,
Sun
right?
and Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you think that they decided we can't proceed with this? We're going to change it to this other thing.
I don't think it was compatible with what they wanted to do with Gigantamax and Dynamax. And also, I think they made some of them too strong.
Well, I think Gigantamax and Dynamax was a substitution, right? They could have not done that and add Mega again, because obviously Mega Evolution was always like a success and it was viewed very positively by the fan base, but yet they had either because of their own decision, which we might discuss now, what was going through their minds, or because of technical issues, they decided to opt out of Mega and change it for Gear. And my question is, why do you think that they did, when they had something so successful, why change it?
So part of it, I think, is that they wanted something like really showy for the first console games, right?
They did say that in the interviews as well. They did say that they said, oh, this is the first time we're going to a full home console. We wanted to make the Pokemon big, quite literally.
Which is like what Dynamax is. It's a very showy mechanic. It looks.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think they wanted to get away from the like, Dynamax is actually very balanced competitively.
Really? Weren't they immediately, like, banned?
Outside of 6v6, it is fair.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Outside of 6v6, it's actually very balanced, which isn't a format that Pokemon supports anyway, so, which is dumb, but it's fine.
Which is why Last Respects is a move and things like that, but, you know.
Yeah, 6v6 is not their priority. By any means. So Dynamax is actually is fairly balanced in that way. And I think they wanted to get away from requiring a held item to do these things.
Mm-hmm. They wanted everyone to be able to access something, right? Which we saw with Z crystals do. And then they were like, but these guys get special Z crystals. Granted, they never mattered except for like maybe the Solgaleo Lunala ones. But Kamoa was a good one, but like Mimikyu was probably important in BSS. I wasn't playing.
I think Mimikyu only mattered because it was slightly higher base power.
It was a slightly stronger move, and also Mimikyu would just saw play anyway, so it didn't matter. Mimikyu was a very good Pokemon, and it's still a pretty good Pokemon, so.
Yeah, they wanted to get away from that. I mean, we see this again with Terrestrialization, which I think they're going to try to make, like, transcend regions as well, like Megas.
Okay with that. If they were to bring back to...
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I know. I want to hear your opinion, Jushiro. You need to stop asking questions. I'm going to ask the questions, okay? I'm the captain now, okay?
Sorry. It's just I like to know. I want to dig into your guys' knowledge and what you guys think. So, I do understand that turtleization. I mean, one thing that I was thinking, and which is why the transition from Mega Evolutions to the Gigantamax kind of was kind of confusing, specifically because they made there was Dynamax and Gigantamax. The Gigantamax in particular, Right. They really confused me because I thought that the explanation as to why they couldn't really, in a feasible manner, push Mega Evolutions is because you need the signed, time and work on those, right? You have to have someone sit down and design a new version of said Pokemon to be its Mega Evolution, which could be used, I'm thinking here as a developer, which that time could be used to just creating a new Pokemon, right? So that would take
No, you are correct. You are correct, yes.
So, and I see why now Terrorization becomes, hey, this is more of an option to spread it out continuously because you're just adding a crown. You're not redesigning the Pokemon. You're just adding stuff to it, which in terms of developing is a much easier thing than redesigning a whole sprite. So I think that's why maybe they're pushing Terrorization as like, this might be a good feature to push to future generations because it is much easier from a developer standpoint point of view.
I mean, you think about it, and XY introduced what, the smallest number of Pokemon ever in a generation?
Well, if you count for the Megas,
except if you count Megas, and then it's probably like the strongest Pokemon generation ever introduced when you count the Megas. But because you can only have one on your team ever, it didn't matter that. They had such a strong set of Pokemon introduced in that generation, since most of them were locked to one per team, maybe two if you were playing BSS, but like it was balanced around having all those strong Pokemon, whereas like this gen just introduced a ton of very strong Pokemon again, and they are unrestricted with how many you can put on your team, right? Like all those Paradox Pokemon are extremely powerful and terrifying, and it warps the meta, it makes fewer Pokemon viable because of it.
Right, but I see those going the way of Tapus, right?
But yeah, no, I don't know. I think Megas, one, are just special, and I would love to see the return in some fashion, right?
Yeah, and they could fix Mega Garchomp to be good, and...
All I think about is, like, they could have, instead of having, like, these really, like, adding the Gigantamax Pokemon, right? They claim they're having all these issues making, like, new Pokemon stuff, new Pokemon designs and everything. They could have just like used the Megas as the Gigantamax forms, right? And just like reused them. Like, hey, this is the same form of this Pokemon, but we just like unlocked a new way to get to it. The stats are a little bit different.
I was half hoping that we were going to get Terastalized forms for Pokemon that also just gave them kind of their Megas back. Like, I was hoping.
I feel like that's a bit of a stretch.
I mean, it was. But I was really hoping for it. Like, I wanted Dragon Charizard to be a thing again. Give him back tough claws. Let him dragon dance.
I think one day we'll see the Megas come back, right? Like,
I think so too.
It is one of like the most beloved mechanics, and I think a lot of that is very evident through I don't know, it's in the same way that we just see Charizard coming back all the time, right? Like I see Megas as the Charizard of the battle mechanics.
I would love to see Pokemon like Gardevoir and Medicham be good again, right?
I would just love to see more Megas in general. Like, I think the idea of adding these stages to Pokemon with, like, completed stages, right? Like, I'm not talking about, like, hey, Girafarig needs a Mega. That way we lock it out of Forigiraffe.
Mostly on stage twos for a TCG.
Yeah, I think, right. Yeah, probably mostly on stage twos. Like, Flygon's a good candidate, as everybody points out constantly and won't stop telling me that.
That's because they said they wanted to do it. They just couldn't figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, but like, this is what I'm saying though. Like, I think saying that I don't know. I think going around with that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, part of what kind of probably was the nail in the coffin for Megas was what they did with Salamence and Metagross.
Those two were very gross, but they did fix it. They did fix it.
They pushed a little too far. They pushed a little too far on those two.
They did fly a little close to the sun.
They flew too close to the sun.
They flew a little close to the sun. I don't disagree with you.
little too close to Pokemon Sun and Moon.
I understand that Tyranitar and Garchomp were laughably bad.
Tyranitar was okay. I don't want that slander.
Tyranitar was more Tyranitar. They gave it 10 speed and said, yeah, this is Mega, sure. It even had the same ability. Like, they didn't try very hard.
It was just bigger Tyranitar, and I'm okay with that.
It was just another Tyranitar. It's just like Scissor. Scissor was another Scissor.
I'm okay with it, though. I really appreciate...
It didn't change much. It was just more Scissor.
I really appreciate it, and I hope it's a mechanic that we see just, like, continue. I don't know. I feel like it's very compatible with Terastalization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think as a mechanic, it's very compatible. Like, unlike I think Z-moves plus Megas on the same thing seems very monstrous, but I feel like just giving you a little bit of extra something on a Pokemon. Like, Mega Altaria is a good one. I thought was fantastic.
I loved Mega Beedrill.
Mega Beedrill? Not to mention a lot of how...
They found a lot...
Like, think about a lot of the older legendaries that are a little bit lackluster. Like, with the loss of Megas, we also lost Primals, too, right? So we lost Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre, and the only ways to really make them viable were the Primals.
To be fair, they are busted, but, you know.
Yes.
They were still, like, top-tier VGC.
Yeah.
Without Primals, so.
Even then, like, I mean, could you imagine, like, Ho-Oh or Lugia getting Megas or something like that? Like, that would be insane.
That would be great. Rayquaza is the one that really needed it.
I agree with that.
Kyogre and Groudon live fine. Rayquaza's, he needs help.
He definitely does, yes.
He's kind of underwhelming at this point, and it's a little sad. Same with Mewtwo, he's just kind of there.
Do you expect to see them bringing them back as the sole new gimmick again, and then just adding more Megas, or do you just see them doing another gimmick, and then maybe add Megas as an extra? Like, oh, you can still have Megas in this new version. Or do you believe that they should just go for it, just pull all of their Pokechips on Mega?
If you would have asked me this in 2020 or 2021, I would have said they should put all their chips on Megas. They should just go back, put all their chips on Megas. Terastalization has changed my mind a lot about how the gimmicks work, just because I think Terastalization is actually a good gimmick.
It is. It's significantly better than the past couple.
Yeah, like, honestly, if I were to rank them, I'd rank them Megas, then Terastalization, then probably Z-moves, then Dynamax.
Z-moves, and then, yeah, Dynamax, yeah.
I put Dynamax over Z-moves, but I put Z-moves over Gigantamax, so.
They're kind of a flex slot, right? Like, I don't know. I would really like if they just brought them back and it was just Megas, though, Terastalization is something that's interesting too, and at this point they're just going to keep making up new things. Granted, I don't know what else there is, because the Terastalization, I felt like, was, after looking at everything they had done, I'm like, it's the only thing that I could think of that they hadn't done yet, right?
It's the perfect thing to just bring back next gen, especially if, say, Kalos remakes happen next gen and then Megas are forced to return.
Yeah, the problem is I am like, remakes, I don't think, after BDSP, are ever going to be nearly as hype as they once were.
Probably not. I don't think they want to use them as competitive games, which is funny considering how much you need PLA to get some competitive Pokemon now.
I think they'll make those games necessary for the future, but not for the current times, if that makes sense. Like, next gen, the next game will matter.
Right. I think they should go more... They should go more route on their porting than remake. Like, I don't need...
I would be okay with that, but then they can't sell it for 60, so...
Yeah, I don't need Unova to be remade. I would just wish them to just release Unova for the Switch so I can play it there.
The issue is, like, DS to single screen porting. I have to imagine a pain in the butt for them. And those are the only games that I, like, don't remake. Well, actually, I like RS. You can release RS again. I was going to say don't remake Gen 1 and 2, but then again, Heart Gold Soul Silver is really good.
I don't know. Gen 10 is also next, right? So, like, I think Gen 10, there's a chance that we see old stuff again.
There is a chance, especially if it... And
Gen 10, I also see, because it'll probably be very close to coinciding with the 30th anniversary.
It'll be near the anniversary year, yeah.
Yeah, if I were Pokemon, right? What I'd be doing right now is seeing how I could slow roll Gen 10 to hit the 30th anniversary.
Because, yeah, it would be a 4-year break instead of a 3-year break that they usually do.
Yeah, just like get, well, what you could do is instead of releasing like Remake plus PLA in the same year like they did, is just put those on two different years.
I don't know how those weren't spread out, but yeah.
To be fair, I did say this on other shows. I do think it was necessary to put them back to back.
I think they should have been. I feel like, well, if COVID wasn't a thing, I feel like BDSP would have been better as like a summer game, with PLA being the fall release, instead of being like a 2 month difference or 3 month difference or whatever it was.
I think you do need them back to back, though.
I think it should be like a 6 month difference.
Because I don't think I could appreciate PLA as much without just of playing BDSP.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think it should be like a 6 month difference instead of a,
yeah,
or maybe a year difference. Like,
I don't know, and you they kind of have the excuse right now if they do Gen 5, right? Because they could do Black and White 1 and Black and White 2,
mm-hmm,
and they could be super super interesting and give us Black and White 3 as a Legend-style game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very possible. Though I don't know what you do for the story from here, but you could do something like that.
I recently watched a Did You Know Gaming on all the like missing Pokemon games or whatnot.
Yeah, I just saw that one.
And apparently they mentioned that, hey, maybe we could do a Black and White 3 at some point. It's like, oh, okay.
I think to wrap up the discussion, just so we don't go on forever, though I'm sure somebody's screaming that they would love us to keep talking about Megas.
Like, it's Kalos. You could go on forever.
I personally think that, like, Megas are a cool concept, and I do want them back. I do want to see them come back in some sense. I don't know what you guys think, though. Like, what are your feelings?
I would like to see them come back. I feel like they could figure out something with, like, how special terastalization works. Like, there's more depth there that they could do that could feel like Megas in the future, maybe.
I like the balance of having to hold the item and only being able to do it once per battle. I think that's very, very balanced.
I mean, terastalization already is that once per battle, right? So,
I mean, they already kind of did that with Mega Rayquaza and Z-moves. Like, Mega Rayquaza couldn't use a Z-move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think, Jishir? Would you want them back?
Absolutely, yeah. They were great. My main frustration at the time was that I felt that it did give spotlight to some Pokemon while, you know, leaving some of the dust, and that's why I thought maybe before I heard of Gigantamax, I was excited for Dynamax, because it's like, okay, this is something that all Pokemon can take advantage of, not some.
But then we made it special for some.
Yeah, then we made the exception clause, yeah.
Right, and then they still made the exception for others, so that defeats the purpose. So I was like, well, this made no sense then.
Charizard received an exemption. It's fine.
Right, and then we got to Terraform, and Terraform, I felt like, okay, this is exactly what I was in a more competitive sense, which I know I'm the least one to talk about. I felt that terrestrialization was more like in line to what I thought that Mega Evolution should be, and more feasible, because you don't have to redesign all the Pokemon. That being said, I do love Mega Evolutions, not to give anything discredit on them. They actually felt like Pokemons are going Super Saiyan, which I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan, so
yeah.
It was always, give me more forms, that's fine, that's fun. So yeah, I'm totally in for them bringing them back. I'm totally in for them to putting all their chips in that basket if they want, if they do want to do Gen 10 and just do more Megas, that'll be fine, definitely, for me. So yeah. I am totally, definitely from all the gimmicks, I agree with your tier. I think the best ones in terms of just pure hype and how fun they were was Megas, followed then by Terraform, which is more balanced, but not as hype as Mega Evolutions.
I think Megas just felt good, right? Like, when you Mega Evolved, it just felt good.
It just felt, yeah, it's just like, it was awesome, yeah. You felt like your Pokemon was actually like going Super Saiyan mode and going on the attack, and it makes you feel those battles felt epic.
Unless you were playing the, I guess you're a Pokemon.
Mega Glalie redeems Glalie somewhat. Okay,
I don't know about that. Moody Glalie's stupid. Like, actually dumb.
Oh, all right. That's going to be it for the topic. Our question to you guys for next week, though, is going to be, what do you think of Mega Evolution? Send those in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Until then, though, guys, we're going to kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip flop. Welcome to our Pokemon of the Episode. Our Pokemon of the Episode today is National Dex number 472, Gliscor, the Fangascorpion Pokemon.
It's Legends Arceus, Pokedex entry reads. It glides soundlessly on pitch black wings and sinks sharp fangs into the throat of its prey. It takes on a look of satisfaction once it has entirely drained its prey of blood.
They also fixed its model in Scarlet and Violet. It no longer flies all the time.
Yay.
He lands and sits on his feet, and it's very adorable.
Yeah. Speaking of the downsides of Kalos.
Yeah.
Ooh, so that hurt for a long time.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Yeah, Gliscor, ground flying Pokemon. I can only think of one other Pokemon that's this type, and it does very well.
It's a very good typing, despite the Venusaur weakness. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, to be fair, like ice. So ice is the Pokemon type chart is a thing of beauty. Like, I don't know how Game Freak managed it. Like, I will give Game Freak kudos all day long for the Pokemon type chart. I think it is beautifully balanced, with the exception of Poison type.
Maybe Steel.
No. Fairy could use a nerf, I think.
Fairy and Water, maybe, looking at all the Terra types for this team.
They did a fantastic job. So because Ice type, it's a very good offensive type, but it's any Pokemon that is Ice type that would benefit from getting stabbed from it is just terrible. Defensively, Ice is terrible, but offensively, it's awesome. Same thing happens with Rock, actually. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic offensive type, but it's also it's just terrible. Well, defensively, it's better, but all of the moves are none. I don't think there's a Rock type move that is 100% accuracy.
We have Ivy Cudgel now. Let's go.
Yeah, that's it.
There's Power Gem and Ancient Power. Gem,
but that's special.
Those are special attacks.
Yeah,
physical attacks. I think it literally is just Ivy Cudgel.
Yes. But Gliscor, good Pokemon. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's just historically been good with Poison Heal, which gives you like an insane amount of HP back, actually, compared to everything else.
Leftovers or
anything. Isn't like twice what Leftovers is usually?
It is.
Like, isn't it an eighth?
It's 1/8. Yeah, it's 1/8. Yeah.
Compared to 1/16.
Compared to 1/16.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you can just poison yourself and you're fine.
Which means you're immune to burn, which is great.
And sleep and all these other things. Gliscor is a good Pokemon and has historically always been so.
Yeah, we just had to miss him for like 3 years and now he's back.
Yeah. I guess he wasn't in Sword or Shield, was he?
No, that's why everyone was so happy that he's finally back.
I guess I didn't think about that.
I mean, he was in BDSP, but
in PLA, yeah. But that doesn't mean anything.
Those weren't metagames people played. It's fine.
Yeah. The base stats on this guy are very interesting and good. Base speed of 95 because it's Gen 4, and that's what we did with everything.
I mean, that's one of the better speed stats that came from Evolutions in Gen 4.
Yeah.
So he made out.
Base 125 defense as well, which is very good. Like, being a fast, bulky boy. 95 attacks, so your attack stat's not too shabby. 75 HP, 75 special defense, and you're never going to use the 45 special attack anyway, so don't even, just pretend it doesn't exist.
It's a dump stat, we don't care.
It's a dump stat, it's just there. I mean, base 510 total is pretty good. This is speaking of Mega Evolution today, this is a candidate for that.
Yeah.
I would argue.
It's a Pokemon with stats that shouldn't evolve Duraludon.
Yeah, Duraludon. I still wouldn't be surprised if like Archaladon is like a Scissor evolution where it doesn't get stat boost. I would not be surprised.
I feel once you're above 500 stats, you probably don't need an evolution.
No, you need a Mega. Bisharp. That's what you need.
Yeah, Bisharp.
Oh, Bisharp. God. King Gambit, what are you doing?
at least they didn't give it knockoff.
They
did really good with move distribution.
I am terrified that like King Gambit is going to be one of those evolutions though that's like stuck into a past game.
Oh, because of the stupid evolution method.
Because of the evolution method, like it's going to end up being like the Weirdeer Meltan situation
where they don't bother like figuring out a new one or something.
I mean, I'm kind of okay with it. In the way that they have home working now,
going backwards is nice.
Being able to go backwards so that if I catch that Pokemon in my game, I can just send it back and go evolve it. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to be very proactive about making sure that every Pokemon is available on the Switch. Is that result? Rip Furfro.
It's fine. You can't put hats on hats. It's not good etiquette. Furfru has too many hats. They don't want to make the models for it's wearing fine. The terastalized hats. It'll be fine. He'll show up eventually.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He's fine. But all right. We got a team for you today. It is an OU team running this Gliscor. It feels bulky, but I don't think it is. We've got Gliscor, obviously, the titular boy, Toxic Orb, Poison Heal. We're back, baby. 248 HP, 244 Special Defense, 16 Speed, because we're hitting numbers. Careful Nature, so that your Special Defense will be bulky. We got Earthquake, Spikes, Toxics, and Protect. That is titular Gliscor. I don't know what to tell you otherwise.
Right.
You are just Gliscor. The only thing that beats that set is probably Corviknight. Yeah. Additionally, you've got Aloma Mola with heavy boots, or heavy duty boots, I should say, with Regenerator as the ability, Terra type Fairy, because why not? Max HP, max defense, Bold Nature, because you're just going to be bulky and you're going to flip turn, which is a returning move, TM, which is great. As well as Scald, it has Wish and Protect as well, because these are just the Stally boys. But let me tell you, this team is not stally based on everything else I am looking at.
You have your defensive pivots, yeah, but okay.
Yeah, you have your defensive pivots and you got everything else.
Now we have what you pivot into. First up, we have the Blood Moon Ursaluna, the scary bear, holding its leftovers, its ability, Mind's Eye, because we want to hit those ghost types with our normal attack. Terra type poison, because sometimes you're defensively need that poison type. I assume we're dodging fighting attacks. We're max HP, max speed with the dump point and special attack. Timid Nature. We're going fast. We're Calm Mind, Earth Power, Blood Moon for our stabs, and then Vacuum Wave for when you're not fast enough, because you are still an Ursaluna.
You're still king.
You're still an Ursaluna. You're not that fast. Because you invested in speed. You're not that fast. Next up, we got Scissor with heavy duty boots. Technician is the ability, as it always should be on a Scissor. Electric Terra type, you're never clicking that. I don't think there's a case where you're Terraing the Scissor. EB spread's kind of weird. 32 HP, max attack. Dump point and special defense for some reason with 220 speed. That's so weird that it's so hot. Oh, never mind. You are electric Terraing sometimes. I lied. because we're an adamant nature with Terra Blast, Bullet Punch, U-Turn, and Swords Dance.
I saw that as an interesting Terra.
What are we luring in? Are we... What?
You're not
curious.
Luring anything in. I think you're just stopping yourself from getting bald, in all honesty.
Like, What are we going for?
Well, here? So it doesn't handle a lot of bulky water types that well.
That's true, but
I imagine Aloma Mola is a Pokemon that is actually out there
that you guys are talking about. Maybe it's the Manaphy you guys are talking about.
Yeah, a lot of things do tear into water.
Yeah, the only reason Aloma Mola is not tearing into water because it starts water. The second bulky type is Fairy, and then Poison is the other one. So, all right, Jushiro is going to take us home.
Yeah, we're going to take us home with Great Tusks, with Leftovers, the ability, of course, Photosynthesis, Terra Water, which is surprising, and then we have the Eevee, we have a Jolly Nature, and with the attacks of Stealth Rock, Earthquake, Ice Spinner, and Rapid Spin. You want to make sure to clear all those obstacles. Oh, what's the word for them?
Hazards.
Hazards,
thank you. To get rid of those hazards. And then speaking of hazards, if you do have some hazards, or your opponent does on the field, you can always switch over to Meowscarada with heavy boots, ability Overgrowth, although I don't know why they didn't go with Protean, but that's fine. You got the Terra type Fire, which is the field once more, and then you got the the Jolly Nature. Now its four attacks is Flower, Trick, Knock Off, Brick Break, and U-Turn.
I want to say choice sets are usually what go with the Protean.
Yeah,
on
the
it.
Protean. Yeah, you don't want to because Protean doesn't change with every move anymore. So, right, yeah.
So if you're going to change what attacks you're using, like this thing's probably going to knock off, and then they're going to think that you're like Scarf, and then you click the flower trick, and they're gone.
Yep.
Probably what your goal is.
Yep.
There you go.
And that is going to be that is it for the team. Of course, well, I was looking at other things for Gliscor. It actually gets a card pretty often in the TCG, actually. Though I do think when we get when we finally get like the first DLC TCG set, probably the first of Block
January or February, March, something like that. Yeah,
I think we should. I think it would be great to see a Terra Gliscor. Gliscor,
that would be cool.
Like a Gliscor EX, I think would be very cool. And you mean just make it poison type, right? So make it the first poison type. The first poison type Terra. I think it makes sense, and I think it's a popular enough Pokemon coming back. And obviously, they did that because they made a version exclusive. So I think that's very possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can get fighting type Aipom or something. Something stupid. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this part of the show. We're going to kick it on over now, guys, to our mailbag. So let's kick it on over to that.
It's mail time. Send in your emails.
Mail. Welcome to our mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts. Last week we asked you what your takes on the DLC were so far, and I'm excited to read them. So, but before we forget, this segment of the show is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And we'll give the Green Tauros badge to anybody we deem worthy, which is just a pretty color roll over on the Discord server. So, let's jump into it. We are going to go ahead and start. I believe Jushiro's going to take this first one from Alex.
Absolutely. Alex, and it goes, "Hey, Puckle Crew. First off, I apologize for the misinformation about the DLC. I did want to talk about it, though. Through my playthrough, I saw tons of new Pokemon in a different area and was drawn into exploration aspects. I was very excited when I was walking around and picked up the Scaltium and immediately put it on whatever I could. I appreciate the forest section not being a hot mess, and I am happy to report that I was able to take one step into it without falling through the floor. I feel like this was a sizable amount of content, and it took me around 10 hours to complete, which is not bad for $15. One Pokemon that I was happy to see return was Slugma, and it is one of my favorite shinies, as well as the cool Pokemon in my opinion. I also appreciate the amount of extra battles and side quests you could do after completing the main story. Some things that I do have to talk about includes Blood Moon Ursaluna, as well as the Pokedex. I was not happy when I found out that I couldn't roll up to a battle with a shiny Blood Moon Ursaluna, which is understandable, but still slightly disappointing. But I also, but also the fact that around 40% of my decks was completed just by catching the base 40. I do have
I have 50%.
It was no, it's actually like 99, right? Like out of the 200.
It's 100 if you trade for the Quagsire.
Yes, that's true.
I started with 100, and the last thing I needed was a Wooper because it didn't count the Wooper. Because apparently I had it before and it just was not.
Well, it did the same thing with the Hisuian Basculin. It made you catch a new Basculin.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it says, "I am glad that it isn't an Isle of Armor copy and paste though. Anyway, keep on going with the great podcast and bring some light to dreary Mondays. Best, Alex." Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, man. All right. I also have a problem with like walking with half the Pokedex. It wasn't as bad, I think, in Isle of Armor. I think Isle of Armor was like, I think they actually did have like 120 Pokemon or something.
It had 210 total, and I don't remember how many you started with. I know there was still a lot, but I don't remember how many it was. It was probably like 80 something, 90 something.
Yeah, it felt like that. The one that was really bad was Crown Tundra, because a lot of the Pokemon that were added were the legendaries that weren't in the decks, but they still tried to have a 200 Pokemon dex, and you ended up walking in with like 140 of them.
And then like half of them were the fossils after that, so it's
It felt bad.
Like they added all the fossils that weren't Sinnoh, so it's like, okay, I guess those take up all the space.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Our next email is going to come to us from Andy. You've got this one, Sigma.
"Hi, Puckle Crew. Here is my short and sweet Teal Mask review. I expected more from the Teal Mask. I played through it on a weekend and managed to fill the decks while playing the story. Sadly, it lacks content in most departments. The region is just an empty area with not much to see and do.
I disagree with that, actually. I thought it was nice.
The fact that it is structured, I mean, yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm of two minds of it. Like, I can understand people who think it's empty, but also I think the skull is like a fun maze. It's like an evolution to the Crown Tundra cave system.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
I liked it in Crown Tundra, and now that I can just jump wherever I want to go to look at branching cave systems, I like it a little more. Because you no longer find, like, dead ends, but...
That's true.
Continuing on. The fact that it is structured exactly like Paldea was a disappointment. It is almost comical how similar the maps look. Yeah, the shape is the same.
Yeah, actually, okay, I do remember reading this and being like, I disagreed, and then I read this paragraph, now that I'm reading it again, and being like, yeah, okay, he's right that it's just a mountain in the center. It's okay. It's okay. It's fine.
You can explore the center, though.
Yeah, unlike Area Zero, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can explore Area Zero eventually, but it's not as fun. You don't get to see the sky anymore.
I think Area Zero being hidden from us until like the end of the game was very masterful. I'm not going to lie. The music in Area Zero with the story?
I think it worked very well for what they were doing. Yeah, it worked very well for what they were doing.
Like, they did they nailed the music for that, too. Like, while you were doing it. It was very good.
The music in Scarlet and Violet in general is just gourmet chef kiss.
The ending was very well done. And I think they won awards for it, so...
I think the story was very good. The game just needs to run it faster than 4 frames per second.
The game needed a little help, but the story was well done. I think the characters were good, too. So
I argue the gameplay was also done very well. I just, again, wish the frame rate was just not trash.
It wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't optimized, it felt, for the Switch, which is unfortunate, but both feature one big mountain in the middle of this with a settlement in front. Another town, or at least a camp, with some NPCs and a quest or two, would have done a lot for this DLC. Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't another town. I thought the festival ground was another town.
Yeah, I knew that. I figured there was going to be when they introduced the town in the trailer. I'm like, okay, so this is going to...
Like, the town is just kind of a joke.
I'm like, this is gonna be the only town. I'm like, this is gonna be our base of operations. It's gonna be kind of like Crown Tundra, where there's a little town, and that's gonna be all there is. And they're just gonna have us run around, and that's exactly what happened.
So what I was really hoping they do was tie this region to the Sinjo ruins, and I think that would have done a little bit for it. But
you know what? That would have been very good, actually.
Like, this seems like it would be in roughly that area where Sinjo would take place, right? Like, north of Johto, south of Sinnoh. Ursa Luna swam across the sea to get there, so I feel like it could have worked, but oh well. The story was nothing special either, but it caught me by surprise that Ogrepan was actually the good guy. I'm looking forward to see what they are doing with the character of Kirin. I see potential for him to become a strong rival in the second DLC. Ogrepan is a fun minigame, but as a solo player, you cannot beat medium difficulty, nor can you search for a group without a password. That's unfortunate. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to just pair with randos.
Yeah.
But, oh well. Since my three... right. It's a fun mini game. It's just a pain in the butt to get started. Since my three favorite Pokemon of all time, Torterra, Gliscor, and Yanmega, made it back into the game, I have nothing to complain here. However, I would have loved to have a side quest where you can encounter all the Hisui forms.
Yes.
The new Pokemon are okay.
Hard agree.
It's so close to Hisui. Like, we got Growlithe at least, and that's a competitive Pokemon, but we should have gotten Ursaluna.
They should have given us a P-Block. They should have just given us P-Block, and Teddy Ursa and Ursaring should have been in the decks.
Mm-hmm, right. The new Pokemon are okay. Blood Moon, though, is a great design. An explanation of how and why Blood Moon exists would have been appreciated. As it stands, it is the weakest Pokemon DLC on the Switch and gets a C-. Best regards, Andy. I believe IGN gave it a 5.
Really? I didn't think it was that bad. I don't understand. I don't understand that, like, why, like, it, in terms of, if you take into account what Scarlet and Violet is, Scarlet and Violet is a very story-driven Pokemon game, which is very unusual, by the way. And this was a very story-driven DLC. I think the issue with this is, like, it's very hard to rate this DLC until the next one, because the other one obviously rolls into it. Which makes me honestly hope that there's like a second DLC in the wings. But I don't think that'll happen. But I like, part of me wants to hope there's just like one more DLC left. Like, give me two more packs. Give me two more DLCs. That'll give you an extra year, and you can you can get me Gen 10 on the 30th anniversary, and we can do the everyone's here. Okay.
All right. So I pulled up the review. Here's the little blurb at the end. It got a 5, which is mediocre on their thing.
Yeah.
The Teal Mask is yet another step in a slow quality downslide for this series.
Really?
It runs terribly, looks ugly, feels predictable, doesn't offer any of the freedom that Scarlet and Violet's main story did, and falls short in so many ways compared to just about every other Pokemon game and DLC I've played.
Okay, I mean, they can have that opinion. I thought it was fine.
I mean, I would probably, I don't think I'd go above a 7 for it.
Like, 7's fine. I think 7's probably where I'd be. 7.5, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's between, like, a 6 and a 7 for me. But, yeah, I was surprised when I heard that they gave it a 5.
Wow, 5's low. I mean, bold. Maybe it'll let Pokemon realize that they need to change things. All right, our last email today is going to be from Mankey. Greetings, Puckle Crew. First off, because I'm worried, Carmine. Who are you mad at? Who hurt you? While I await clarity on that, I'd love to share my thoughts on the DLC. Aesthetically, it is beautiful. I'm going to Bali for my honeymoon in the month, and the rice terraces were very reminiscent of all the travel videos. Well, congrats on your honeymoon. I've been watching, so I'm very much enjoying that. Nighttime at the festival is peak tranquility. I thoroughly enjoyed just walking around with the spooky Pokemon at my side. Poltergeist, Chandelure. Poltergeist, my bad. Just getting lost in the fantasy world. The storyline was fine, predictable, and over a little too quickly, but no major complaints. My tinfoil hat thought, to reuse a phrase from the recent episode, is a potential connection to the OG anime. While traipsing around the Mossvale Confluence, I found a sign that said items from upstream get washed downstream and end up there. And suddenly I remember the Quagsire episode from the anime from Gold and Silver, where the local Quagsire would collect balls and spheres, throw them at the moon, and they would be found floating downstream by the villagers, which is a sign of good luck, apparently. This may be out of reach, but with the Johto Wooper line being brought back, maybe? It's definitely a reach. 1,000% a reach. Anyway, I'm very excited to see where the next DLC takes us and hopefully ties everything together. P.S. I shiny hunted for the first time, and I got a Sea Titan, and I named it Gladys after the orca that is teaching the other orcas to sink ships. Thought you might appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. The great buckle lore of the orcas. Oh no.
Go orcas.
And that is from Mankey. All right. I think that Alex got the badge here, honestly.
Me too, yeah. I was gonna suggest it. Yeah.
That's fine. That's the one I want. All right, Alex, you get the badge. And that's it. If you want to email us next week again, let us know what your thoughts on Mega Evolution are over at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Do you want it back? Do you think it should stay where it is? Or do you want more? All right. So, of course, if you want to hang out with us, the best way to do so is go over to Puckle, PucklePodDiscord.com. You can, of course, also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Additionally, you can go over to our YouTube, youtube.com/PucklePodcast, our Twitch, twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. And if you'd like to support the show, two ways to do so. One, you can go over to trollandtoad.com and buy some cardboard using code PucklePod5 at checkout. We really appreciate it when you use that code. And additionally, if you want to, you could head over to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. A couple new shows are coming out over there. So if you want access to those, I believe those are at the $5 tier. Though one of them might be locked behind the 10 soon. So we are going to go ahead and, I think there should be a teaser for one of those at the end of this too. So definitely check that out.
It was on last week's actually. So yeah. Oh.
No, there's another one. There's another one. There was one on last week. That show didn't come out because I forgot to upload it before I left for Madison, Wisconsin. So it's going to come out before this episode's up, but it will be there, but there's going to be another show on top of that. Like, I think we're up to 3 Patreon shows a month now. So yeah, there's an episode where I interview one of you guys. And then there's another one where I will go ahead and I get to talk with the patrons. A couple patrons get to go on. It's actually a good time. If you want to be a patron that's on the show, the higher the tier, the better. But again, the Patreon's probably going to be restructured for October, so definitely watch out for that as well. Things are going to be changing here in Puckle Land. And I'm hoping we can get some cool merch out. But it'll probably mostly be through Patreon at first. But yeah, Until then, though, guys, I have been Trainer Thatch.
Some say I've been Shirum.
And I've been R Sigma.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. To the first ever Puckle's Patreon hangout, where we're going to hang out with a couple of the listeners of the show, who also, I guess, support the show in such a way that they're on my short list. So I've got the wonderful, as always. Well, I shouldn't say as always because you haven't been here on the show that often. I've talked to you all the time, though, Trev. Trev, the late night legend from the Discord server.
Hello, Thatch. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Thatch. Hello, everybody. I like that intro. and we've got the Aussie Crocodile.
G'day, everybody.
Who everybody might know from all of the mailbags. I don't know if I read a lot of them or just like one or two of them? Because like I know you send them in all the time, and I feel bad because I feel bad with the mailbag all the time, but that I digress.
I think I'm about 60% of my emails have come through. So
that's a good batting average. That's a good batting average.
A good strike rate.
I'm always worried with the mailbag. Because, like, we used to read every email, right? Like, way back in the day. I don't know how far back you've listened. Trev, you've been around for a while, actually. I'll ask you. I'm going to ask this question in a minute. But, yeah, we used to read, like, every email on the show. And it was always such a pain because there'd be so many emails. Like, there's one show in particular where I remember thinking, like, we can't keep doing this. We had something like 15 emails that episode come into the mailbag.
Yeah.
And we read every single one of them. And it took us about 45, 50 minutes. The mailbag segment was 45, 50 minutes of that show. And it wasn't entertaining because like we were just reading it.
Yeah. I mostly send them in. If I'm usually driving, mm-hmm. I listen to the podcast. And if I find myself talking like to you guys, as you're like, you obviously can't hear me. And then I'll sort of be like talking on the way home. And then I'll be like, right. Get home, jot out an email, but it's kind of just like trying to join in the conversation without actually being there. So
no, I completely understand. Let it be known that I do read them. I do read them. It's just when like showtime comes, I try to be good and like give everybody a chance, right? To have their email read because I don't want it just to keep reading like one person's because like yours are like in terms of emails we get, like, yours are, like, above average.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if that says anything about you or about the quality of emails we usually get, but they're above average. So, like, yeah, it's always solid to be like, oh yeah, I can just go back and I can read Aussie Crocodile's email, and we'll make sure we at least have one that's like readable on the show. But
to go back to what you said, Aussie Crocodile, yeah, about how when you write your email, it's just like you will talk as if you're there, even though, you know, it's a podcast. I would do the same thing, but I drive. I listen to it
in the
car on the way to work with my brother in the car with me, and we're both listening to the podcast. So I have the advantage when someone makes a point on the podcast that we like, we agree with, we have something to say, we pause it and we like discuss it with each other. We're like, oh, that is such a good point he made. I agree. You know, Game Freak ETC needs to do whatever still. And I have that. I pause it. I talk to my brother.
So you have a podcast about the podcast in your car.
That's yes, what I'm hearing. Basically.
Yeah, you have a podcast. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. So I don't want this to just be like, an hour of us talking about mailbags. But I mean, it could be if you want it to be. But I guess like a little bit of introduction to like who you guys are, right? Like, I've got like some baseline questions for like who you are, what you want to talk about. But I guess the first question is like, how long have you been listening to Puckle? How did you get into Pokemon, and why did you even look for Puckle in the first place? Like, those three questions right there. Feel free to answer them in any amount of detail you want to. I'll let Trev go first because I called on you first.
Okay.
Earlier.
So what was the first one? How long have you been at Puckle?
Yeah. How did you get into Pokemon? What was your first experience with Pokemon? And then why did you search for Puckle? That's what I want to know.
Okay, so joining Puckle, that was before Sword and Shield came out.
For sure. No, because I've known you for a while.
Yeah, but I don't remember, like, I wasn't in the Puckle community during Gen 8.
If you like that and you want to access the whole almost hour and a half podcast, you can go over to our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast and join at the $5 tier or above. Doing so helps support the show and can get you access to cool content like this, Seth's Chit Chat that we did last week, and soon to be New Game Corner Plus. So please check that out, guys. We drop plenty of cool goodies in this show, so be sure to check it out, and I hope to catch you on the next one.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.